From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Craig Miller in for Rachel Miro. California's budget gap is widening. Governor Schwarzenegger is now predicting a deficit of at least $10 billion for the fiscal year that starts on July 1st. That's about $2 billion more than the figure lawmakers had been working with. The governor's solution, in his words, all kinds of cuts across the board. Democrats have a combination of cuts and tax hikes in mind. L.A. is one step closer to a pay-as-you-go plan to reduce traffic. The Metropolitan Transit Authority has embraced a plan for what's called congestion pricing, which would take the free out of freeway by making some lanes tollways during peak hours on Interstates 10 and 210. The program would start within 2 years if state legislators sign off on it. One of California's most controversial bugs has been given a reprieve. A state court has halted aerial spraying in Santa Cruz County for the light brown apple moth, pending a full environmental review. Last year, the state sprayed a chemical pheromone in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties to disrupt the moth's reproductive cycle. Afterward, hundreds of people complained of health problems. Authorities had planned another application for this June. Santa Cruz City Attorney John Barisoni argued the case for the city. He says the ruling means people concerned about the spraying will now have a chance to be fully informed.
At least in Santa Cruz, I think a lot of people were afraid of the spraying simply because they didn't have the information or the vehicle to get their questions answered.
The Agriculture Department plans to appeal the ruling. Meanwhile, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger rendered his own decision in the matter. He postponed any state spraying until mid-August. In a San Francisco courtroom, mental health care for military veterans has been under sharp scrutiny. Yesterday was the fourth day of testimony in a class-action lawsuit filed by veterans against the federal government. Scott Schaefer reports.
The Department of Veterans Affairs provides health care for more than 5 million vets dating back to World War II. Each month, 1,000 of them attempt to commit suicide. Yesterday, attorneys representing veterans pressed the VA's top health official over the quality and timeliness of the mental health treatment vets are getting. Dr. Michael Cussman testified that preventing suicides is a top priority for the VA, but nearly 4 years after the agency adopted a strategic mental health plan, he acknowledged it's yet to be fully implemented. Gordon Erspalmer, lead attorney for the veterans, summarized Wednesday's hearing this way.
There's a massive gulf between appearance and reality. They have a lot of nice strategic plans. They just don't implement them.
In court yesterday, the VA's Cussman insisted they are making progress, pointing to a new suicide prevention hotline and thousands of additional mental health workers hired in the past 2.5 years. But the demand for care is also rising quickly. About a third of the soldiers and Marines returning from Iraq and Afghanistan require some kind of psychiatric treatment or counseling for things like depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and risk of suicide. VA spokeswoman Carrie Childress says the agency is doing its best to keep up.
You know, with 154 hospitals, almost 900 community-based outpatient clinics, 160 nursing homes, it is a massive healthcare system, and it's not something that you can just implement new programs in overnight.
In federal court Wednesday, attorneys for the vets presented an internal VA email from the head of mental health services. The email discusses the number of veterans attempting suicide each year, and it begins, shh. It goes on to suggest ways of avoiding bad publicity before the media uncovers it. Veterans attorney Gordon Erspalmer characterizes it this way.
They're trying to hide the facts. A lot of the VA people, paint a very rosy picture. It is just not consistent with reality.
Also at issue is the time it takes for veterans to get financial benefits. It takes years for some claims to be settled, and many veterans die with claims pending. Government lawyers argue that a federal court can't dictate how federal agencies spend money allocated by Congress. But Stanford law professor Mariano Florentino Cuellar says federal courts deal with these issues all the time. He says the judge has a range of options in the case, like ordering changes in administrative practices or spending priorities. Professor Cuellar also notes the timing of this trial, right in the middle of an important presidential campaign.
And that means that a court decision like this can effectively place a degree of legitimacy on arguments that the country's not doing nearly enough to deal with the concerns of veterans.
The VA is expected to present its arguments next week, with a ruling from Judge Samuel Conte coming weeks after that. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
With much at stake in California, a federal farm bill remains stalled. Congress passed another extension yesterday, the fifth since September. The bill funds everything from cotton subsidies to food stamps. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca talked with one California lawmaker who's been sitting at the negotiating table.
Congressman Dennis Cardoza knows a lot about almonds and watermelons. His grandparents grew them on their Merced County farm. And like most California farmers, they didn't receive the kinds of federal subsidies paid to corn and soybean growers in the Midwest. Now, as a Central Valley congressman, Cardoza wants some of the money that's gone to subsidies to pay instead to put fresh produce in school lunches, expand farmers markets, and fund research for fruit and vegetable crops.
At one point, I had to sort of throw my body in front of the bus and say, we'll kill the farm bill and no one will get anything if we aren't able to move this bill in a different direction.
Cardoza sits on the conference committee that's been wrangling over the $286 billion package. The main sticking points? How much money for nutrition programs? Should there be tax breaks for the timber industry or farmers with endangered species on their land? What about a clause that would pay billions of dollars to farmers who lose crops in natural disasters? And there's still a dispute over just how much to rein in traditional subsidies. That's where Cardoza admits he faces some pragmatic choices.
We still have to pass this bill, and there are a number of senators from farm states that simply would not vote for a bill that would reduce to zero the commodity program. That is a political reality.
President Bush has threatened a veto if the final bill doesn't significantly slash those subsidies to wealthy farmers. At the same time, consumers face skyrocketing food prices. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
And that's the California Report for Friday, April 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering from Howard Gelman and Tom Krimkowski. Our director is Rory Gallagher. Our interns are June Stinson, Ali Tabatabai, and Leanne Lucetta. The editor is Kat Snow. Our senior editor is Pat Flynn. Producers are Victoria Malion and Erica Kelly. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer, and the executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Craig Miller. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn, and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org. And the Wesley Foundation, for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.